Support comes from Ohio University's Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service, a proud member of Ohio University's Health Collaborative, with the Heritage College of Osteopathic Medicine and the College of Health Sciences and Professions. We are partnering with local providers and communities to improve public health. Information is available at ohio.edu/Voinovich-school.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jazzed About Work, where we talk about everything that might have an impact on your career. I'm your host, Bev Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. And our returning guest today is Aaron Llewellyn, the CEO of Tilton Futures. That's a nonprofit that creates immersive programs to prepare young people for meaningful careers and to pursue work that might help them address global issues. The organization, which once was known as Global Citizen Year, has found ways to keep going despite major challenges like COVID. Recently, this nonprofit broadened its activities and expanded its efforts to help Gen Z students to get ready to change the world. Aaron will talk about how they found ways to evolve, including by gathering great data and by building partnerships. And Aaron will describe some of the lessons they've learned through their thousands of alumni. She'll explain how a mission-focused experience can help students become more optimistic and positive about their careers. And finally, we'll talk about how new experiences and curiosity about other people can change your life, wherever you are in your career.
Thanks for having me.
Today, of course, one of the things I want to do is find out what's happening with Tilton Futures, which last time we spoke was called Global Citizen Year. I'm really interested in how some organizations, how some nonprofits are able to evolve and keep growing and keep staying on their core mission while others just can't overcome the crises that come along. It sounds like since we spoke last year, you've done a big rebranding and you're reaching out to more groups and you're doing some interesting things. Will you tell us about what your mission is and how Tilton Futures is going to be the way that you're going to address the mission?
Oh, thank you for asking that. And our name has changed, yes, but our mission is what it's been since day one, which is empowering young changemakers with the skills they need to make a positive, lasting impact on global issues. And as we talked about last time how our programs have evolved significantly over the last 4 years. I mean, coming out of the pandemic, we really needed to evolve and shift and change. And our name and the way we talked about ourselves has not evolved at the same pace. So it was time to say, okay, we need to match our current programming and strategy to a new name and brand. And Tilton Futures as a name, it reflects two things. When a young person chooses this type of educational experience, they are choosing to tilt their future. It's just impossible for that to not happen after such a transformational experience. And then the second thing it represents is the long-term impact our students and alumni are having in the world. So it's both the singular and then the collective.
So tell us a little bit about, before we get to the impact in the world, tell us a little bit about the impact on the students. I notice what you have 2,700 alumni now, something like that. You've had lots of students who participated in earlier programs, and now you're starting to get data suggesting just how correct you are in saying that an immersive program like this will change people. How are your alumni changed? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so There are so many benefits to this type of learning. And we work with a team, you're right, we're starting to get really, really great data. We work with a team at UC Berkeley and a team at Harvard to help measure our efficacy. And we're finding there are so many key benefits. And to put this in perspective, the World Economic Forum published a list of the most in-demand skills right now. And on this list of 10, we teach 7 of them. And in every one of those, we have statistically significant results. And that's validated by these teams at Harvard and UC Berkeley. And the skills are analytical thinking, creative thinking, resilience, flexibility, agility, all kind of wrapped into one, motivation and self-awareness, curiosity and lifelong learning, empathy and active listening, and then leadership and social influence. And
wow,
it's just incredible to look at that list and say, wow, we're teaching 7 of these and producing statistically significant results. That's what's possible when you take young people with different perspectives and cultures, you take them out of their comfort zone and give them real world experience from folks doing really important work in their communities. And then you wrap that with a curriculum that helps bring it all together. For me, just imagine if every young person had access to this type of learning. We would just be in a different place.
Well, tell us a bit about your Cape Town program and what does it include? I know the focus is on human rights as a theme, but how do you introduce and carry out that theme? And what are these students actually doing while they're there?
Yeah. So let me start with what the program is. Coming out of the pandemic, we built a new program called Take Action Lab, and it incorporated 12 years of learning and was built for the era that we're in now. We knew that if we stayed stagnant and just returned to what we used to do pre-pandemic and we didn't adapt to our new realities, we would really miss out on maximizing our impact and meeting young people where they are right now. So this new program recruits young people from all over the world. We bring them together for a 4-month program with a theme. So right now, you're right, our class is gearing up to start our human rights theme in Cape Town, South Africa. They'll begin with our foundations course. It's delivered virtually. And then that course readies them for the group. It readies them as a group. So how do they work together? How do they develop their own self-awareness so they're better in community? And then what is the introduction to the cultural and historical context for which they're going to in Cape Town? And then after that course, they all travel from their 40 or so different countries and they land in Cape Town. And then they'll live together in shared housing and they'll begin their apprenticeships across organizations focused on human rights across the city of Cape Town, and then continue with our curriculum that scaffolds the entire experience.
You've been doing this for what, 14 years? The program has been mm-hmm. going on. Mm-hmm. And I know there's some obvious changes in Gen Z and how education is taking place just generally because of being able to do things remotely, having people be mm-hmm. Able to develop the skills to really get something out of a remote program. But what are some of the other differences, if any, that you're noticing between Gen Z students who you've been working with most recently and the very first students who joined your program? Do you see some differences?
Yeah. I mean, the data also says that there are differences, right? I think at this point, we are seeing that they're more anxious, they're more isolated, they feel more unsure about how to engage in the broader world around them. And to me, I just think, how could they not be different? They've grown up having access to every piece of information on earth, good and bad, at their fingertips. They've never known a world without social media. And creating social impact, which is something that we know this age is typically learning about and focusing on, but it looks different in the age of social media. So to make change, do you post about it? Do you vote? Do you protest? Do you volunteer? There's just more confusion around how does one make the world a better place? What impact can one have? And young people are deeply concerned about human rights. They're concerned about climate issues, mental health. And then they're also in a stage where in their development, where they're seeing progress on these issues stall due to the time that they're growing up in, which is a highly polarized time across the world. And I think, you know, this is exactly, it segues right into, I believe in higher education deeply. And I also believe that higher ed has to shift in ways that incorporates immersive learning in a global context, experiential learning, because that's where students can learn how to navigate this world they're in. And then they can also develop that sense of purpose and direction alongside of it that helps work against some of the things that we're seeing this generation that are complex in how to navigate.
Many universities have study abroad, work abroad program, exchanging classes between organizations across the world. There are a variety of programs out there, but your program seems to have it has bigger impact, and you can measure it and you can show it, as you've just said. Now, of course, part of it is that it's a long program. It's immersive, and it's, you know, a lot going on. But are there other differences, aside from just the size, the length of the program, between what you're doing and what a lot of universities are still doing, which really feels like you just take classes and, you know, there's not much immersion in the community?
Yes.
How are you so different?
Yeah, this question is so important. So I support study abroad, and most study abroad programs are essentially replicating the college experience in a new place. You're completely right. They're typically, you go and you're with other students from your own school, and you basically pick up, move, and do college in a different country. And that's got a lot of positive benefits, and I don't doubt that that's a really, you know, fun experience. It's also such a missed opportunity for a truly transformational experience, one where the student leaves with a completely different perspective on themselves and on the world around them. And so at Tilting Futures, we are aiming for transformational. And I would say there's three key pieces to this, three key ingredients, if you will. The first key ingredient is the diversity of the class. So each class in a Tilting Futures class is made up of students from all over the world. So one class may have 40 or so countries represented. You might have one house with someone from Indonesia, rural Peru, Seattle, Kenya, and India all living together. And the second ingredient is what you alluded to, true elongated immersion into the local community. So every day, a student with Tilting Futures goes to their apprenticeship, learning all that goes into creating social impact from a local leader leading a local team. And then the third ingredient is really all about maximizing the learning. This is where your curriculum ensures there's reflection. It connects the dots between what they're learning in their apprenticeships and from their peers, all toward building those foundational skills that support students to create meaningful social impact. Those are my three pieces that I think are fundamentally different from study abroad. And if I could wave a magic wand, I would just say, let's just shift study abroad into this type of experience and really create transformational learning experiences in that whole sector.
I read somewhere that one of the things Tilting Futures has been doing is reaching out to other organizations, you know, trying to leverage your success by connecting with other groups. Is that correct? Are you looking for ways to expand your impact by connecting somehow with other programs that other people are doing?
Yes, we've always partnered with different organizations for different types of things. So for instance, now that we are serving a truly global population, we have partnerships across the world with educational institutions to have them share this opportunity with their young people to make sure we are always representing every region of the world and every class that we put together. So that's one way, and that had to globalize. So that's shifted and changed and gotten much more robust. And you know, over a third of our young people come from referrals from the young people who've done our programs, and another third of them come from these worldwide partners, which is has an incredible reach. But the second way we're looking to partner with institutions is really within higher ed. So one of the things that we've started to think about here is we know we're having a deep and lasting impact on the young people that we're serving. And if we continue to serve young people and grow, we could get to maybe about 500 young people a year, maybe 1,000 young people a year. But that's a drop in the bucket for what could be. And so instead of just thinking about our own program and our own growth, we're moving into this new era where we're going to continue growing and doing what we do best. But by pairing with these research teams, we're aiming to show the impact and then to open it up. And almost, I guess it's the same as open source. Here is our curriculum. Here are our best practices. Here is what goes into this type of transformational learning. Please replicate it. Please adapt everything that you can out of this. Because the more organizations or the more higher ed institutions who begin incorporating this, the more young people who get to have an experience that profoundly changes their life. And that's the new era we're going into.
I'm so excited to hear you say that you're sharing this information. Of course, this podcast is produced by WOUB, which is the public media program at Ohio University, where I've been connected for like decades in the College of Communications. But what I was thinking about when I was reading about what you're doing is how great it would be for journalism students to have a program that is this intense. There are many programs for students to have internships internationally, which is very impactful, I know, but they tend to be on their own. I mean, one of the things you have to do as a journalist is figure out how to go to some distant place without a lot of support. So I guess that's helpful. But a program like this, say, for journalism students, even if it's just a couple of weeks, it feels like it could be life-changing because you are learning how to become part of a different society for a while. Is that right?
Yes, I would completely agree. I think it could be a game changer in terms of being able to, one of the things I think about as a journalist is to be able, the idea of perspective taking and empathy and trying to understand a situation from lots of different perspectives. And what better way to do that than to a part of your learning journey to have it be where your own perspective has shifted dramatically due to being in an environment where you're with young people from such different backgrounds that are helping you see that your perspective is just that, your perspective. And actually, when you sit in dialogue with someone who's very different from you, you learn that that can also be often be very narrow. When you're working alongside someone who is creating meaningful change on the ground in a cultural context you don't know about, the learning is multiplied. And if journalists, I'm part of their journey, were to have an experience like this, I think they would be forever changed in the way they approached their the people and the stories that they're trying to tell.
I think it could be very exciting. Another area that I thought about when I was reading all the things you're doing, and again, I love the analytics. I love the fact that you can demonstrate what's happening and you can break the program apart and see what works. But one of the things we've been following on Jazzed About Work when we're looking at workplace trends is that our workers are aging. We have many people who are reaching retirement age, or maybe they're just mid-career and they want to restructure their work life. They don't want to work all the time, but and they want to do something different. And it occurred to me that it would make sense to have programs like this for adult professionals who want to make a change and make a difference. Have you been in conversation with programs that are working with older adults? And by older, I mean anybody who's 40 or over.
You know, I've been in conversations. I just came back from a conference in Switzerland that was intergenerational. And wow, the learning in the intergenerational setting was really remarkable. And so that's where my brain went when you started talking about that, is how do we actually, and I think CoGenerate is a nonprofit that's been focused on this. They've gone through it some iterations. And one of the things that I admire about them is that they've stayed fresh as they've learned as an organization. They've changed and evolved. And at Tilting Futures, we aim to do the same. And one of the things I really like about where they're at now is they really are focused on intergenerational learning and meaning making and being engaged across generations. And that's where I think the focus would be really, there's so much richness there. And I think we'd all benefit from being engaged more in dialogue, in problem solving, solution seeking, in intergenerational contexts.
That is a great idea. I think there are some things happening like that, and having it on a big scale would, I think it would not only help individuals re-engage with their career, but it could change the world. There are so many resources that could be tapped. And it's never too late to be inspired in your career, I think. Now, it sounded like you had a great experience in this recent conference. We were chatting a little bit before we started recording, and I was thinking, okay, travel is one way that you still become inspired. How do you keep up your energy and your sense of commitment? Because you're doing hard work, and you need to kind of refresh, I assume, from time to time. What do you do?
Oh, thank you for asking me that. Well, I'll tell you just a little bit about this conference, because I think part of me is I get energy from working alongside young people and people generally who are really driven around a purpose. I find it so inspiring to just be in that type of context. So I just got back from this conference in Switzerland. I also got to attend it with four of our alums. So the alumni were from Nigeria, El Salvador, India, and Indonesia. And I have to tell you, there is nothing more inspiring for me. I'll just tell you about one of them, and hopefully you'll be inspired too. So Mojo is from Nigeria, and he has a love for all things technology, but he's self-taught. And he recognized that there were no clubs or no teaching around technology or sort of STEM at his public school. So he started a tech club at his school. Well, that would be awesome in and of itself. But fast forward, he has now partnered with the government in his county, and there are tech clubs across the county in all of the schools. And just seeing how he has taken his experience with us, his own motivation and excitement about making the world better, and his own curiosity around learning, and then inspired replication of what he's doing across his county in Nigeria. That is an inspiration. And I think the more I talk to alumni, the more I sit with young people and hear about what they're working on and what they're focused on, that just gives me endless energy. So that's one thing that I would point to that keeps me engaged and excited.
Just out of curiosity, Moja sounds like a really interesting young man. How old was he when he decided, all right, I'll start a club?
Yeah, so he was in high school. So that was his first club. Then he graduated, and then he went to Cape Town and did our program around human rights. And he has since been back in Nigeria and working with the government to replicate this, and they're rolling it out. He's got many other projects in his queue right now. But so he's probably 20 right now.
That is inspiring to see somebody who just sees a need and starts meeting it at that early age. So you're starting a new program somewhere, but it's kind of a secret. Is there anything you can tell us about the next program you're going to do?
Yes, I can. We are starting a climate program, which I'm really excited about. So, you know, we've one of the biggest things we've learned from our Take Action Lab in Cape Town is just how eager young people are for this type of experience. So in our first year of that program, we had 16,000 young people start our application. A key lesson in that was that, okay, we have to expand. We are on to something. We listened to young people when we built Take Action Lab, and they have responded in kind by saying, yes, we want more of this. And so we've been listening to them now and trying to figure out what's next. And they are telling us that the focus has to be on climate. So the new climate program is a response first to what young people are asking us for. But I'm really excited because I feel like it's also a response to two interrelated challenges. The first is that workers with green skills are going to be needed across all fields. And we have a green skills shortage. So, you know, LinkedIn just did this study and they reported that only 1 in 8 workers worldwide have at least one green skill. And we need a way to teach these skills. We need a way to have them be across industry. And at Tilting Futures, we're excited to apply the same framework to how we teach human rights to teaching green skills in this new climate program. And then the second issue, which is really related to this generation, is Gen Z and Gen Alpha, as we talked about before, just have so much anxiety around climate issues. And it's almost this negative cycle. Anxiety can lead to inaction, which can lead back to anxiety. And one way to mitigate this is to do something about it, to get engaged. And that's exactly what happens when students apprentice with organizations already doing the work. So, you know, from our data, we know that 96% of our students feel more hopeful about the future after they finish our programs because they have participated in work they care about. And so we're really eager and excited to launch this climate program to engage young people on something they're so passionate about, yet need skills to be able to enact the changes they're looking for.
Are you able to partner with, say, corporations that are working on the business of solution and who require specific skills? Or how are you getting the content? Who are you partnering with?
That's a great question. And I think that for us, we're building the curriculum right now, and we are partnering with, we've got an expert in curriculum development that's on our team, but we are looking to institutes focused on this. so that we're building the curriculum that is really aligned with the pieces of climate that we know can have the biggest impact and are the most urgent need. And for us, we know the learning is, you know, like we talked about before, it's those workforce skills, the adaptability, the analytical thinking, the creative thinking. Those are that's the set of skills that we know we're uniquely positioned to teach. And then layered onto this is a climate lens. So young people emerge with the skills they need, but also the content knowledge around, we're really going to be focused on biodiversity and renewables. So how do you think about that in the context of your apprenticeship? So the apprenticeship partners we'll put together will be focused in areas of climate. So a young person really comes out of there with a much deeper understanding and knowledge around how work gets done in the climate space, and what might they want to pursue in this?
That's fascinating. There's a tremendous need for that kind of learning and for internship opportunities. I suspect that as you launch this and with all of your wonderful data, you're going to be able to help a lot of other programs that are looking to bring young people into the workforce in a way where they can really make a difference and have a meaningful career. It sounds like a terrific new program. The things you are doing are just fascinating, and I really appreciate hearing about it, and I appreciate your being here today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love talking with you, and it's fun to talk about our work and also to just know how different people are asking, you know, are curious about it. So it was a complete pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'll keep watching, and I hope we talk again once this program, the climate program, is launched. It'll be interesting to see what you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe we'll just have to bring you live to one of our—
That would be great.
—spots. That would be amazing.
That would be fun. Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for listening, everybody. Today we've been talking with Erin Llewellyn about how mission-driven adventures can help you get ready to change the world. This podcast is produced by WOUB Public Media. Colin Cameron is our audio engineer. I'm your host, Beverly Jones, author of Find Your Happy at Work. And our sponsor is the Voinovich School of Leadership and Public Service at Ohio University. Today's tip is that if you're feeling stuck, look for a small adventure. One way to do this is to volunteer somewhere and to get to know people who are changing the world. Thanks for listening, and if you enjoyed today's show, please give us a 5-star rating.